little bit in, Exodus, I guess. Amen. Exodus 3. And 7. We'll begin reading there. Raise your hands and ask the Lord to have His way in this part of the service this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. He said, "For I know their sorrows," verse 8, "and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land, into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And 17th verse. "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites." A lot of us get hung up there and don't go any further. How many times have you got hung up on the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites, and you couldn't care less? Huh? You forgot to read just a little farther. I read fast. I do a lot of skim reading, and I miss a whole lot that way. But I read for a purpose. I'm looking for something, and sometimes read so fast, I'll skim over. And here's what you're liable to pass up when you're passing up the Canaanites, the Havites, the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. I'm preaching on what happened to the milk and honey. Hey, hallelujah. I'll read some more. Amen. Let me read over here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Verse 17. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest?" Now, here we want to make an equation. You know, in algebra, we find out X equals something or other. Amen. And so you find out by using algebraic equations, you know, what the answer is by finding out what X equaled. Okay. I read to you in the book of Exodus that he's going to lead us into a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And the land flowing with milk and honey equals rest. Here in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Unto whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. Amen. So rest and milk and honey are synonymous terms. Praise God. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Amen. Now, the narrative continues in the 4th chapter. "Let us therefore fear." Now, there's whole movements today that teach you not to fear. They say that you got it all when you got saved and you don't have to be afraid of anything. You got all the Holy Ghost you got can get when you get saved. You got all of God you can get when you get saved. And you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you got saved, they say. That is a baptism without measure of the Holy Ghost when you got saved. Amen. No, you just got out of Egypt when you got saved. Amen. And a whole bunch of you know that there's a whole lot of Egypt still in you. Why did God lead them 40 years in the wilderness? Because they had too much Egypt in them. It took 40 years in the wilderness to get Egypt out of them. He got them out of Egypt in just one day's time. They walked across the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army drowned it, and they shouted the victory. A lot of people shout when they get saved not to. That's okay. I didn't shout much when I got saved. I saved it till afterwards. I was too bashful to shout. Amen. And the boys that mocked me because I got saved, they just clapped their hands and sung old-time religion. Did a whole lot worse than I did. Amen. And I didn't shake hands with them and call them preacher, but they did me the night before they got saved. And that night just before they got saved. But it said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us. U.S. don't mean United States every time. It means all of us. Amen. Us. He left us of entering into his rest. Any of you, Y-O-U, should seem to come short of it. And once again, we equate rest with the land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Here we find a very important fact that they had the gospel preached also. Amen. And the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so you got to mix something with the gospel, and that's faith. Hallelujah. You got to believe. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, that God did rest the seventh day from his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Ninth verse. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. 10th verse. For he that entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. It looks to me like there's a possibility that you might even fall. Amen. And not enter into that rest. Praise God. Well, let me read another one over here in maybe Hebrews. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6, if you will. Amen. The earth which drinketh in the rain, it cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, here's another title if you want to use this one. Amen. Milk and honey are thorns and briars. Which? Amen. Milk and honey are we bringing forth milk and honey? Or are we bringing forth thorns and briars? Amen. Well, praise God. Jesus stood up in the 7th chapter of John on that great day of the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Rivers of living water. Milk and honey. Amen. Our spiritual drought and thorns and briars seem like thorns and briars just go grow better in the desert than they do anywhere else, don't they? Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm asking this morning in this brief message, what happened to the milk and honey? Hallelujah. I was down home this week and meditating, touching home base again, winterizing my house down in Arkansas, and that's where I first began to pray. That's where I first struck water. Hallelujah. That's where I first found out there was a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And as I looked over the beauty of the countryside, there was still a lot of color left in the hills, and the fescue was beginning to green out again. And the green backdrop for what color there was left in the oaks and the trees, amen, was a beautiful sight. And even though it had been a dry year, old Spring River and Big Creek still had water in them, amen, and flowing good and clear. Well, well, well. And I thought, as I mused to myself, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But I can remember when it was a land of trouble. I can remember where the land flowing with milk and honey was nothing but thorns and briars. And the big difference is that we don't realize many times how well off we are. And we don't realize how much God's blessing us. Amen. When I was carrying rocks off of the garden every year to make a little garden, and it was oh so big for a little boy that had to rake all them rocks up in piles like you would leaves or something and haul them off in a sled with an old wore out wrench tub nailed to the top of it, and I'd fill it as full as I could drag the sled with rocks and dump them down on the lower side of the garden on what we call the rock row. Eventually the fertile sediment washed down from the top and against the rock row until it was level with the top of the rocks down on the lower side of the garden, and it was the most fertile part, needless to say, of the garden. Amen. But oh, it was such hard work, I thought. And it's so much easier when you don't have to fight the rocks. But then I got to thinking, a lot of folks that have got it so much better, they have to pay $1,000 a year to belong to a spa. And they go to a spa and work out, work real hard to just lose a few ounces. And they work and they work and they work and they work and they get all out of breath. Hey, I was doing it down in the hills of Arkansas. I didn't even have to pay a membership. And I didn't realize how well off I was. I thought it was terrible drudgery on me, amen, to have to get out there and work, amen. But I see them all the time out here walking up and down the road. They got to get some exercise, amen. They brag about walking 5 miles today. Hey, if I'd have had to walk, that's how far it was to town. If I'd have had to walk all the way to town, I probably wouldn't have went. Because that was too far to walk. Nowadays, you know, we're so well off. Amen. And we got so much extra stored up on these old bodies. Amen. And we got to get out here and walk, 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 walk. Run, 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 run. Double time, double time. Get all out of breath. My doctor told me, he said, if you lose weight, you got to work. And if we're now out walking, Vance Havner said, if you see a man out walking today in this automobile age, he's either out of his mind or out of gas, one or the other. Amen. There's one other thing. He may be losing weight and getting his exercise. Amen. Hey, I got it climbing those hills. I didn't realize. realize when I had to hunt the cows every day and drive the cows home, and what a hard time this poor boy was having. Amen. I wore overalls every day. Amen. And oh, I wish I could have had a pair of pants with a belt, because all we had just about it was overhauls. We didn't call them overalls, we called them overhauls. Amen. And nowadays, I'd have been right in style with the yuppies today on the streets of Hamilton. They got more money than they know what to do with. And you know what they do? They'll go down to the store and pay $50 for a pair of overhauls, five sizes too big, with the legs dragging the ground and their pockets almost dragging the ground. Amen. And wear them to school. And they're right in style with the $65, $100 pair of sneakers, you know, to wear with them, you know. Nowadays, you can wear just as little as possible and dress just as ragged as you dare. Amen. Nowadays, they got machines that'll fray the legs, that'll make them look threadbare, make holes in them even. Amen. Charge you $50 for them. You go buy them and put them on just so you got your $100 Air Jordans on. That shows your upper crust, you know. You got holes in your jeans and your $100 Air Jordans, you're okay. Amen. You're right in style. I didn't know how well off I was. Amen. Hey, if you had to wear tennis shoes to Mammoth Spring High School, that was low life, brother, if you couldn't afford nothing but tennis shoes. That was poor folks' shoes. That was the cheapest you could buy. Nowadays, they just charge you more for them, and you're right in style if you're wearing tennis shoes. Amen. Hey, I didn't realize how well off I was. Amen. I had trees to climb and 10,000 acres of open range. I was living in a land of milk and honey and didn't know it. Amen. We had milk, we just had to milk it every day. Amen. And we'd take the milk to the house and Mom would strain it through a feed sack strainer. Amen. And we'd put it in the well or the spring. We always put it in the spring. Wintertime we could put it in the creek, but the spring sometimes had a little fence around it, or at least folks recognized it was a spring and honored it, and so we'd put the milk in the spring. We had milk. My dad could course bees. I couldn't see how he saw them, but he'd put out a little old bait of some kind, a little old honeycomb or some sugar water, and he'd course bees, and he had as high as 11 trees with his X carved on them that he could cut any time he wanted to and have honey. We had an abundance of honey. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and I didn't know how well off I was. Amen. But then something else happened, praise God. Sin darkened our days. Sin darkened our nights. Sin blighted our home. Sin blighted our happiness. Amen. And took away our ability to envision, and the world beckoned, and Mama wanted a social life, but Dad wouldn't spend money. Amen. And so their lives were in conflict because Mama wanted a social life and Dad wouldn't spend money, and so they were always fighting over money. I remember one time Mom threw a party, didn't tell Dad, and all the young folks came in from all around the Collins household. Amen. One room log cabin, but we was having a party. We had the whole yard and the whole country and the highway to play in. Amen. And Mom threw a party. We didn't have food. We just had people. Amen. Forget about the food. But Dad, he was so antisocial, he went off down behind the garden and sat down in the dark and stayed till it was all over. Antisocial. Amen. Mom wanted a social life. But Dad, the world was beckoning. Amen, to us back then, just like it is to you today. You don't realize how well off you are. You got plenty to wear, plenty to eat, plenty of clothes. You got a good car to drive, better than our forefathers had. You can drive all the way to town without having a flat. You can drive all the way to town without the radiator blowing up. Amen. You can drive 100,000 miles without having much trouble. You couldn't drive that far back then. Even on Model T days when they built them tough. Your tires liable to come right off of the rim and pass you going down the road. Amen. And it's happened. The tire would come right off of the rim and they'd have to chase it down and put it back on and fix a flat. But you was in the upper crust because you could even have a car. Amen. Amen. Ah, yes, today we're blessed and we're sitting around grumbling. We're sitting around griping. Amen. In the midst of it all, in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our heartache, I got saved. Amen. In the midst of it all, I laid aside the world. It took some doing, but I laid aside the world and began to seek the Holy Ghost. And I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Our lives begin to look up immediately when I got saved. We got out of that one room log cabin we never could get out of very long at a time. We built a house just above it. Amen. And I cut the rafters when I was 16 years old with a carpenter's square and finished the house out by myself. Oh, Mr. Cover Lumber Company marveled at how that boy built that house by himself. I had some help. I had a lot of help. People came in to help me. Amen. But by and large, I did the work by myself. And we had a better house to live in. You know why things begin to look up in the Collins household? I begin to look up to heaven. And I found God. And I found rest in Jesus. I found rest in the Holy Ghost. In the power of God. Amen. I had found Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Now the pulpit commentary will bear out this doctrine that the third and fourth chapter of Hebrews, the rest there, means an earthly inheritance of the saints. And it goes to some ends to explain that Canaan, the land of rest, was not heaven, but it was the earthly inheritance of Abraham's children. And the rest spoke of here in the book of Hebrews is not heaven either. It's the earthly inheritance of the saints of God. Now the wonderful thing about this Canaan is that once you get it, it goes with you everywhere you go. You take it with you. Oh, if I could just find the land of Canaan. Oh, if I could just find that land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, if I could just find that place. I'll tell you how you find it. You find it at an old-fashioned altar. You get a hold of God. You pray all the way through. The old-timers used to call it praying clear through. Hallelujah. And when you pray clear through until heaven comes down, and glory fills your soul, and you know it when you enter into that rest. The Holy Ghost comes in and takes over. It's amazing what the Holy Ghost can do when He takes over. Me and my brother used to cut wood. We'd wait till the coldest, snowiest day to catch up on cutting the wood that we heated the house with. And we'd get out there and we would get to working real hard with a cross-cut saw. I mean, you did it this way. Back you reach just as far as you could reach and you did it this way with a cross-cut saw. Only they saw fast. Amen. And if the man on the other side didn't hold up his part, pretty soon you was not only pulling the saw through, but you was pulling him through. The weight of his arms. They call that riding the saw. And us little boys out there pulling a cross-cut saw. Amen. I'd say, Carl, you're riding that saw. And he said, no, you're riding that saw. Amen. The truth is, we're both tired and we're both riding us off. Amen. And then realize it. But then mom and dad would come down and they would realize it was getting along awful slow, and mom would take hold of handles of that crosscut saw on one side and dad on the other. Amen. And the sawdust would just fly. And we'd stand back and watch them as they sawed the block off after block off. Amen. And you know what I did while I was watching them? I was resting. And that's the way it is when the Holy Ghost comes by. We've labored and labored and labored and wonder where the milk and honey went. And then the Holy Ghost comes down and Jesus takes a hold of the handle over yonder and the Holy Ghost down here. Amen. And we back off and watch the Holy Ghost work. That's what we've been doing at the Highway of Holiness now for a long time. We've been resting and didn't know it because the Holy Ghost has been take it over real often at the Highway of the Holiness Church, and the sawdust is just flying. Man, he can get a lot done in a short time. Praise God. And then they came along with a chainsaw. Woo-wee. Amen. You had to work on it a lot. You had to keep it tuned up. And you had to keep it sharpened. I remember the first time I tried Dad's chainsaw. Amen. When I came to the end and the pressure was off, I stuck it in the ground. I was bearing down. And just touched them rocks one time. Amen. That's all it took. To sharpen the chainsaw. Because it wouldn't hardly cut after I'd stuck it in a flint rock. You got to keep it out of the nails. You got to keep it out of the flint rock. You don't think we need to be separated from the world? You just try sawing them nails with a chainsaw. You just try sawing them. Stick you into your chainsaw even in the sand one time. You'll have to sharpen that thing. You don't saw much dirt, much sand, much rocks without messing up your chainsaw. And the first thing you know, you're working just as hard as you'd have been working if you was using a crosscut saw. Because you're using a whole lot of gas and making a whole lot of smoke and not making much dust fly. Amen. Because you got to keep it sharp. Hallelujah. Hey, this land of rest, this Holy Ghost rest. I thought, what happened to the milk and honey in my younger days in the hills of Arkansas? I'll tell you what happened to it. I took it with me. Because I was the only one saved in the house. Only one filled with the Holy Ghost in the house. That's why mom and dad came out on the porch and both of them cried like babies every time we'd leave. Because we had something that we was taking with us. We took it to Kentucky. We took it to Illinois. We took it to Ohio. We took the milk and honey everywhere we went. Praise God. And that's what you're doing. If you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, this rest is portable. This Holy Ghost is universal. It's omnipresent. You take it with you, boys. You take it with you, evangelist. You take it with you, preachers. Hallelujah! That joy unspeakable and full of glory, you take it with you everywhere you go. Amen. The only thing is, amen, we got to fight them honeybees in order to get that honey. Amen. Boy, I mean, they'd have me stand way off. And Uncle Cleve would put a thing over his head that looked like a birdcage. Amen. And he'd put gloves on. And after they cut down the tree and it broke all to pieces. And those bees was a swarming and they was mad. Because somebody was stealing their honey. He'd go in there and he'd get that honey and we'd bring it out by the tub full of a bee tree. Amen. And there's a lot of folks missed the honey because they didn't want to fight the bees. There's a lot of you preachers, if you're not careful, you'll miss the honey because you're scared of bees. Amen. You'll have to get stung once in a while in order to get the honey. You got to develop an immunity to bee sting. Amen. Remember, it hurts the honeybee worse than it hurts you. He gives his life every time he stings. Amen. He leaves his stinger and his entrails sticking in you when he stings you. Amen. He gives his life fighting for the hive. And so he's hurt him worse than hate you. It hurts you to get the honey. Amen. But we don't want the honey because it costs us the risk of getting stung. We don't like persecution. We don't like folks talking about us. We don't like folks calling us holy rollers. We don't like folks calling us Mr. Goodbar and Holy Joe and holier than thou. Hey, but if you get the honey, you got to be willing to get stung a little bit. But we allow peer pressure. You better stay away from them bee gums. Them bees will sting you. And they'll tell stories about how I know somebody that got stung so much that it killed him. He got a new brand of bees that have come over from Africa. They brought them over to try to breed a disease-resistant brand of honeybees down in South America, and they got out, and they're gradually moving north. And the black honeybee that will sting a person to death is already in Texas and Arizona and creeping north. Amen. They attack like hornets. They attack in great numbers, and they sting until they sting their victim to death. And there's a lot of people that if they're not careful, they'll quit the honey business on account of the black bees. Amen. You just got to put on your cage over your head. Amen. And I've seen some guys in these honey festivals that was so fearless of bees that they smeared something on their face, and those bees came all over their face, and they wore them bees like a beard and had their picture took with honeybees hanging all over them. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an old Methodist church in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas, that the honeybees swarmed onto the eave of the back of the roof. Amen. And they was already a bunch of honeybees in the wall. And so they just started making honey. Amen. Hanging from the underneath of the overhang of the comb of the roof on the outside of that old Methodist church, and people came from miles around and took pictures of it, of that honeycomb hanging from the end of the Methodist church. They couldn't get on the inside, and so they just made honey on the outside. And a lot of churches you won't be able to get in because a lot of folks scared of bees. Amen. But you can make honey on the outside. And what happened to the milk and honey? We didn't want to milk a cow, and we didn't want to face the bees, and so we just done without milk and honey. But if you fight your way through to victory, if you press in to the Holy Ghost power, you've got it, brother. You have got it. I want to tell you something. It don't leave you when you walk out the front door of the church. You take it home with you. It don't leave you when you go to Kentucky. You take it to Kentucky with you. Why do you think things got in such a bad shape in the mountains that a lot of Pentecostal holiness hillbillies had to move to the city? Because God needed some milk and honey in the streets of Hamilton and Cincinnati and Detroit, praise God. And so He shipped a bunch of them out of the hills. It got so bad down there, so depressing down there. Amen. They came north to make money and brought old-time religion, milk and honey with them. And there's greater revivals now going on in the city because a whole bunch of country folks brought old time religion with them, and the faith was delivered over the saints. They wasn't afraid of bees, and they wasn't afraid of milking cows. They wasn't afraid of the little work. And any time they came north, that's the very ones that the factory wanted to hire. Because they wasn't afraid of work. Amen. And they wasn't all time striking for higher wages either. Because they was already making 10 times more than they made in the mountains. Amen. It was a backslid holiness preacher by the name of Jones that organized the first sit-down strike in Detroit. Amen. You know what's the matter, Jones? He lost the milk and honey. And he wasn't satisfied with nothing. And he thought higher wages and a little more money was what he wanted. But that wasn't really what he wanted. He needed to get back to God. He needed to get back to the Lord. Praise God. Hey, amen. What happened to the milk and honey? I'll tell you what happened in a lot of places. The milk and honey has turned to thorns and briars in many a church. Why are people fussing and a fighting and a scratching and a playing politics in the church? Amen. And compromising with the world and against every preacher. Amen. That says you got to fight bees. You got to stay separated from the world and keep your saw sharp. Amen. You ought to have honey. They say, no, you don't have to do anything. You can have all this and have honey too. No, you can't. You can't have the world and have Jesus too. You got to have old time religion that makes you love everybody, and the first thing you know, when you quit loving everybody, you run out of honey and you run out of milk. Praise God. A child of God is like a fresh drink of cold water from the bottom of the well on the 4th of July. So said John W. Sullivan. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hey, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He said it'd be a land of rivers. It'd be a land flowing. It'd be a land of milk. It'd be a land of honey. Hey, amen. We're ready to change churches. Ready to accept a lower standard. And ready to go where they don't preach anything. And don't preach against nothing. Amen. But you're going to find right away there ain't no milk either. There ain't no honey either. And there ain't no water either. It's all pictures on the wall. And nothing in the heart. Amen. Hey, you can't eat the junk you're watching on video. Amen. It just rouses a hunger for the so-called good life. That's the reason we got so much divorce today. So much dissatisfaction. We got so many ladies that's watching the serials on TV that they're watching the so-called good life. Amen. And they've got an idea or a standard that's above the one that they're living. Well, what am I doing here cooking and a washing and a cleaning and a washing dishes and ironing and slaving away? Amen. And there ain't nobody they ever see on TV that's cooking and washing and working. Amen. They're all playing. And so the world makes its bid for us. And we bought it. We bought it across the board. Until we forgot about the milk and honey. Amen. Oh, we're having to run, you know, to keep the pounds off, you know. We're having to work real hard. Ride that bike. Work that treadmill. Amen. To keep the pounds off. Because the good life is not all it's cracked up to be either. Huh? Amen. Hey, amen. You don't believe in works? Amen. You don't get much honey neither. You got to fight the bees. He said, I left some people in the land. I left some of the Havites and some of the Canaanites and some of the Perizzites and some of the Jebusites in the land. So that their children might learn how to make war. Hey, I don't want my kids to have it hard like I had it. What do you got against them? What's God got against them? What made you what you are? Amen. Yeah. Amen. That hard life kept you from buying a membership to the spa. Amen. Oh, brother Sexton back there works hard on the farm and his life. Amen. So active in his life that when his heart stopped up and one artery stopped up, he'd already grown a bypass. Amen. They say people that are very athletic and very active do that. It already grew a bypass. They didn't have to do bypass surgery. He grew him one of his own. By hard work. He'll tell you the story. Sat right back there. Amen. And when he lost circulation in his leg and it looked like he was going to have to operate, amen, they looked at his leg and said, "You've done the same thing with your leg. You growed you a bypass down there." Hard work. Wave your hand, Brother Sexton, so they can see where you're at. Amen. He growed him a bypass on his leg. Growed him a bypass on his heart. Hallelujah. Hey, hard work never did hurt nobody. It didn't hurt Les Sexton. Praise God. Hey, it won't hurt us neither. What's killing us is our indolence. Our inability to face the bees. Amen. And hunt the cows. And drive home the cows. Praise God. And do the milking and do the chores. So we can have the milk and have the honey. And God said, the reason I'm leaving all these enemies in the world, in your world, is you can have all the milk and all the honey that you can handle, but you're going to have to fight for it. You got to learn war just like your brothers and sisters did back yonder.